Yes, and as I've said before, they don't check ID. So if you're under 50 and you want to slip in, that's all right too. They'll be happy to have you. Yeah, there you go. Genesis chapter 3, the first six verses is where we're going to settle in today. Kind of hard to believe, but it's been over 22 years ago now since the planes hit the towers in New York City. We took a show of hands earlier. How many are over 50? How many are under 22? Do the math there. Try to figure it out. Okay, yeah, we've got quite a few under 20. So you weren't even around during that time. But for those of us who were, there's no forgetting where you were when you heard the news, when you watched what was happening. And for the next several days, we held our breath. Planes were not allowed to fly into the air. We didn't know if there was going to be another strike somewhere. It was quite an experience for everyone. They flew planes into each of the Twin Towers, and then one into the Pentagon, Washington, D.C. Another plane went down in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Many of you know I used to pastor in Shanksville before coming to East Berlin, so I kind of connected to the community. And they told me that in their school, now they only had one school. You went from kindergarten through graduation in one school building when you went to Shanksville. And that airplane came so close that the students ran to the windows. They'd never seen a plane up close and personal like that. Went right past until it hit that field. And can you imagine the grace of God that spared Shanksville itself? It's such a small community. But especially missing the school where all of their children were on that particular day. And we know that there were brave heroes on that plane that helped keep it from hitting an even more populated area and so on. But that day changed all of our lives. We've been different since. I'm sure nobody could articulate all the differences that are there. But surely if you go to take a plane ride somewhere, it's different than it used to be. I've never been a terrorist, but when I go to get on an airplane, they make me walk through this sensor thingy. I have to take my belt and my shoes off and carry them on a little belt and so on. It's just very different. Then I have a rather personal loss in it all. I used to carry a money clip my dad had given me. He got it as a 20th anniversary gift for working at PPG that long, Pittsburgh Plate Glass. And he worked there 30-some years in total, but he gave me that money clip that I always carried with me. Well, they found out there was a one-inch blade hidden within it, and so they confiscated. The world is a safer place now. I no longer carry my money clip. But my mother used to say, they strip-searched me. They took her shoes off of her, and my mother was a little bit sensitive about her feet being exposed to the public and all. But stuff happens in the world that changes our lives, and we never know from one day to the next what it might be. A little boy goes to school. He's perfectly normal, and they notice he's tilting to one way, and all of a sudden you're on this odyssey. Today's faith fact is sin separates me from God. We're going to talk about the worst terrorist attack of all times. It took place in the Garden of Eden. And this is what we learned from it. Sin separates me from God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, oh, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Oh, Father, forgive us. They sinned, we sin. We're not worthy of the kindness and the love of our God. But thank you for the forgiveness of God. Help us today, Lord, to have our eyes opened a little bit wider, to understand a little deeper, to quit questioning our God and follow him, obey him, do what is good and right so that better things can come. I will thank you for your help here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get to the event itself, let's consider life pre-fall. Living in the Garden of Eden, living in paradise. As God created this world and placed people in it, there was no sin. There was no sin at all. It was absolutely beautiful. The people were safe, free. They enjoyed life immensely. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and there was absolutely no stress? There wasn't such a thing as fear. You weren't afraid of anything. You just look forward to the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. They worked in the garden. They tended the trees. They enjoyed its fruit. They enjoyed one another's company. The animals were all as tame as your family dog. No, lion, you can't sit in my lap. You're getting too big. Somebody needs to trim your nails. It's just all beautiful. It's all good. And on top of all the creature comforts, the Lord showed up in the cool of the evening every day for a little bit of fellowship. He was literally their father. Hey, is Dad coming over? Yeah, he's coming over this evening. He made Adam out of the dust of the earth, Eve out of one of Adam's ribs, and he would come by and they would just kibitz over the affairs of the day. Didn't have to talk over any problems because it was all good. But can you imagine something else that Adam and Eve discovered about this beautiful world that they couldn't wait to talk to God about? Lord, whatever made you think of color? How did you come up with that one? Oh, and butterflies. That is such a neat thing. How, this is amazing. And they so enjoyed that intimacy with their God. If you've ever felt the presence of God, I mean that woo, then you know that was probably the highlight of their day. The Lord is coming by, going to have a great time. This was a joyful, informative relationship that gave the people comfort, security, and joy. And in all the world, there was only one rule to follow. There were no speed limits. There was only one rule to follow. Don't eat fruit from that tree. Any other tree is fine. It's all good. But that particular tree, don't eat. How many think you could not eat from one tree? You think you could do that? Just stay away from that one. That would, okay, well, what if that was like the chocolate tree? Not so confident now, are you? And you know, kind of, smelled like chocolate too when you went past it. And it's only one rule. Don't go anywhere near where that snake lives. He's trouble. Just keep it cool, and it'll be all right. Now, all of Adam and Eve ever knew in all the history of their lives was good. Everything was always good. Hey, how was that pear? Oh, it's delicious. How was that apple? Oh, it's great. You got to try one of these. Hey, how is it? It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Well, it's just so, woohoo. This is wonderful. Everything's good. That's all they ever knew was good. How many would like to have a day like that? Amen. Just everything. You know, the car started. Everything, you know, didn't burn the eggs. It's just all, woohoo, good. Good. That was life. They experienced life together and enjoyed the Lord. Ah. But one day they're near the forbidden tree. I don't know why they... You know, what is there about something being forbidden that just kind of attracts us? Don't touch the stove. Why? Don't step over that line. Why? No, just don't go, don't eat any of the fruit from that tree. Why? And there's this beautiful snake under there. I haven't seen that snake around here before. And the snake strikes up a conversation with Eve. Did God say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Man, that sounds so bad. And the question engaged her because, well, no, that's a lie. He didn't say we couldn't eat from it. So she begins to educate the little snake here. No, we're allowed to eat from all the trees except for this one. We can't even touch its fruit or we're going to die. Now, I know there's no sin in the garden, but that's kind of a lie, isn't it? I mean, God didn't say you can't touch it. He said don't eat from it. But she's trying to embellish a little bit. Maybe that's one of those rules she put in line. Isn't that what you tell your kid? Look, it's dangerous over there. Don't even go near it. You know, don't want you touching it. Don't go near it. So maybe that's what she came up with in her own mind. I'm not even going to touch it. God doesn't want us eating it. That's fine. I'm not going to go near it. I'm not going to even touch it. And the devil responds, you will not die. Oh, how naive. No wonder they call you Eve, naive. Your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. Evil? What's evil? Oh, it's really cool. Aren't you getting bored with good all the time? Oh, this is good, and that's good, and everything's just so good. But you could have some evil. Ever hear that saying, it's good to be bad? I think it's the same snake came up with that one, too. And yeah. And Eve begins to wonder, maybe evil is awesome. Who knows? Well, I don't know. Adam, you ever had? No, I never had any evil. Don't even know what that is. Well, what if we just tried a little bit of evil, and then if we didn't like it, we wouldn't have to have any more? Well, that's not what God set up. Little did they know that encapsulated in the pulp of that fruit was murder, abuse, disease, theft, greed, anger, hatred, and 1,000 other wickednesses. Can you imagine this couple? They probably never argued before. Wow. They got along. Everything was good. Gee, wouldn't evil be a change of pace? Well, yes, it would be. A change of pace for sure. Anxiety and depression had never been experienced on earth. Like I said earlier, they were never afraid of anything, ever. How many could do without guilt? You think you could get along without any guilt in your life? You just, I just feel so bad. You ever wake up in the morning and say, how you doing? I don't know. Well, what's wrong? I'm not sure. I just don't feel right. It must be something going on that's just, Wouldn't you just love to jump out of bed in the morning? Woo-hoo! Another day, here we go. Can't wait to find out what's going to happen next. But then evil came in and messed everything up. Oh, how I wish I was in the garden that day with a hoe. There'd be one headless snake, and we'd be living a lot different than we are right now. Or maybe I would have been the jerk that would have tried the fruit. I don't know. But they disobeyed God. Their eyes are opened, all right. Guilt, shame, embarrassment, disappointment, fear, and dread all rush in like a giant tsunami. They never felt bad before. Adam, I don't like feeling bad. Put it back up on the tree. Put it back up on the tree. I don't want, oh, it's done. We're stained. We're in trouble. Oh no, God's going to come. They were never afraid of God before. It was always, oh boy, God's coming over. Now it's, God's going to find out we did this and we're going to be in trouble. We better hide. And then, ooh, it's chilly. We better cover ourselves. And for the first time, it was bad. It was really bad. Bad enough they had to hide. And God came calling for them. And there they were. In that moment, so much of what is wonderful died. Innocence died. That original intimacy with God was gone. Paradise lost. We read in verse 16 of chapter 3, God said to the woman, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Now imagine you're the first lady. You got to bear a lot of kids. And this is your thing. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us. Note that word, us. Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. Catch this word. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Of all the losses they suffered that day, none was so tragic as the loss of intimacy with God. Is God stopping by this afternoon? No, he won't be stopping by today. Now, he provided a system of sacrifice so that there was some restoration, some hope for the future. But my, oh my, Adam lived 960 years. How many want to live 960 years in this life? I don't think so. I mean, can you imagine saying, only 842 years to go till I retire? I mean, what, you'd have to go to high school for like 200 years? Something like that? And, really? Wow. But in that is grace. I wouldn't want to live like this forever. I mean, I have a good life. But God provided a way for there to be the restoration to paradise. One day we'll be back there because of what Jesus did for us on the cross if we accept him as our Savior and get that taken care of. But as it was for them, they were driven out of the garden. And then God posted some angelic TSA agents with a flaming sword. So there's no way you're getting back in here. There's no going back to Eden. Raising crops was very hard and frustrating. Childbearing, severely painful. Now, some would say that the devil was right. They didn't die that day. God said you'd die. But then That's to say you don't understand what death is. The biblical definition of death is separation from God. And that's what hell is. Hell is, you know what? You didn't want anything to do with God while you were alive? Well, you're going to get your wish. Remember when the children of Israel were crossing the desert and they cried and they said, would to God we died in the desert rather than die here in the promised land. So God said, well, okay, if that's what you want. For 40 years, they walked around until they were all dead. That's what you want. That's what you're going to get. You don't want God in your life? God won't be in your forever either. And the worst part of hell, though there is fire and brimstone and agony and pain and all that and darkness and fear, the worst part of it is separation from God, because when no God, no hope, no peace, no coping, it's just hell forever. But God is here right now. And he's giving us a choice of restoration. He's saying, son, daughter, do you want to come home? Do you want to have the peace that only I can give? Do you want to make things right? Because Eden was only good before sin came. Hell is only evil. No peace, joy, or rest ever. And God doesn't want that for you. In fact, he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he wants to have fellowship with you on a daily basis. And he wants you to come home at the end of this life and find out what it's really like to live, where you don't feel guilty anymore. You're never afraid again. You're never brokenhearted. It's joyful and filled with peace and love and all the good stuff. So our faith fact is sin separates me from God. Now, even for those of us who have received Christ as our Savior, that's an important thing to keep in mind, because the devil is still there. Think I'm really fake. He's always lying to us. Saying, well, you know, if you tell the truth, you're really going to get in trouble. All you have to do is lie. And then it'll just be, you know, no trouble at all. Liar, liar, pants on fire, eating your curds and whey. Where's my hoe? For us, we need to be smart enough by now. You know what? Obeying God, it works out right. Disobeying God, there's death in that pot. I want to do what the Lord has called me to, because that's where the life is. That's where the joy, the peace is. Not just here, but forevermore. Would you stand with me this morning? The hope is to go and sin no more, but that's not possible for any of us. But I hope we go out of here this morning saying, but I know that sin is wrong, and I want to do it God's way. God, with your help, help me to stay clean. Help me to do right and go in the right direction. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I talked about salvation. I talked about having your sins forgiven. Do you know for certain that you're ready, should God call your name today, that your sins are covered and everything's good with God? He offers the gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And as with any gift, you have to receive it in order to have it. And the way we receive that is through prayer. We ask the Lord to forgive us, and he will. We ask him to come into our life, and he will. We do our best to follow him from there, and he'll help us. But the best news of all is you've got a reservation in heaven from that point on. And one of these days you'll be home. You'll be guilt-free in joy forever. So with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd just like to ask, anybody here this morning, you'd like to slip up a hand and say, preacher, I'd like to be sure. I'd like to invite the Lord into my life today. I want to make things right. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Any others? Just, hey, remember me in that closing prayer. We're not going to call anybody out. We're not going to embarrass anyone. We're just going to trust the Lord together. Anybody else? Just slip up a hand and say, hey, I need Jesus today. Would you pray this prayer after me, whether you raised your hand or not, so that those who had will be confident enough to pray out as well. It's not the words we say that make a difference. It's the meaning in our heart. And if you mean business with God today, he'll mean business with you. And may I say, it's not every day you feel that tug on your spirit. When you do is the time to respond to it. So whether you raised your hand or not, but you feel that conviction, respond to God right now as we pray together. Please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying on the cross just for me. Please forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, I'd like to pray for everybody who prayed that sincerely today. And I prayed it sincerely myself, Lord. We pray it over and over again. Not that we're ever saved over and over again, but we just love that comfort of knowing your word all over again. It's not based on how good I am or how many good things I can do. You died on the cross for me, and now you give me the gift of eternal life. All I have to do is accept it. Stop depending on me and start depending on you. Stop following everything I want and start following what you want. Help my brothers and sisters to do exactly that, I pray. May they feel your presence. May they feel your joy. May they feel the tug on their heart to follow after you. Teach them, teach us all how to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. We have a closing song. Do we have the words? Yeah. That's not it. Although you have a friend in me, that's not it. That's how today goes. See, we're not in paradise yet. But let this minister to your heart before we go.
Open up my heart to you. I just wanna